Australian universities will soon be required to adopt definitions on anti-Semitism, Islamophobia and racism as part of an overhaul of higher education standards being rolled out by the federal government. It comes as students and academics have recounted harrowing experiences of anti-Semitism on university campuses as the Royal Commission into Anti-Semitism and Social Cohesion turns its attention to the tertiary sector. Jewish Australian woman Liat shared her experiences of escalating anti-Semitism in the wake of the October 7 attacks on Israel.
I had people perform Nazi salutes in my direction. I was called a baby killer and a genocide supporter, and no student should be subjected to these sorts of behaviours.
That's some of the evidence being given to the Royal Commission. Vicky Thompson is Chief Executive of the Group of Eight University and joins me now. Vicky, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Sally.
What will these new anti-racism governance standards, what will they look like in practice for universities?
Well, there's two issues here. There are the governance standards which the government is introducing, and then there's the requirement for universities to have a definition of racism, and sitting under that, a definition of anti-Semitism, Islamophobia and racism directed towards First Nations people. And so the government hasn't been prescriptive, if we just talk about anti-Semitism at the moment, the government hasn't been prescriptive in which definition of anti-Semitism we adopt, but I would suggest that there are two that are floating around, and that is the what's commonly known as the IHRA definition, the International Holocaust definition, and the definition which was actually developed in the first instance by the Group of Eight after a request from the Special Envoy to combat anti-Semitism back in 2024-25, and then was adopted in principle by the broader sector. And from our perspective, different universities obviously are doing different things, but all of our universities across the Group of Eight, and they're the only universities that I can speak to, have adopted either of the IHRA or the now Universities Australia definition, or embedded it into policies. What the government is doing is saying, well, embedding it in policies is probably not the standard. You actually have to have a definition that is not only symbolic, but is also able to be used in a context of, complaints, et cetera, and operationalised, if you like.
And what's the timeframe here for these definitions and practices to be implemented?
Fairly quick, but notwithstanding the fact that I think a lot of work has been done across the broader sector, but certainly across the Group of Eight universities. So we have to have them in place by the 1st of January 2027.
Will universities require additional government or community support to see these new standards implemented effectively?
In terms of the standards, so which is slightly different to the definitions, although embedded, the standards really ask us to be more accountable and more transparent. And that can only be a good thing, right? So this is not particularly... Wouldn't have come as a surprise to us as institutions in terms of the governance standards, that because this was something that there was an expert council on university governance some 12 months ago. And so we certainly support strong governance, greater transparency, and measures that strengthen public confidence in universities, because there is clearly an issue, and we've heard some fairly harrowing evidence yesterday in the Royal Commission from the person that you've just played prior to my interview. And so there's clearly an issue in public confidence in our institutions, and that is not acceptable from our perspective, and we need to do better. And that's why we are trying to do better as we can, working with government and also our own institutions, putting in place different measures.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is the Chief Executive of the Group of Eight Universities, Vicky Thompson. Vicky, university campuses have long been the site of demonstrations. How are universities going to manage this in the future if groups have opposing views on a situation that is unfolding globally? Will things like encampments be allowed in the future?
I'm not sure you'll see a replication of the encampments that we had post October 7, and actually since that time. And one of the things that we did, Sally, after the horrific Bondi attack, was established an expert committee, an independent committee led by Dr. Alan Finkel, Australia's former chief scientist and also obviously former Chancellor of Monash University. And they undertook a really deep dive into, you know, what had gone wrong for our universities in particular, where had we been caught short-footed, and what did we need to do? And I think what they found, well, they found, you know, 20-odd recommendations. They found that a lot of work had been done, but there were a lot of complexities as well. So different universities had different bylaws, different complex, you know, federal legislation, state legislation. And so that's not to cast the blame of anything that happened on anyone but, you know, our own universities. But it did show that it was a very complex sort of environment we were in. Universities, as you quite rightly say, are places where we have to have contested and open debate, but that doesn't mean it's harmful debate and it can't be directed towards people in a way that causes the harm that it has.
Vicky, when you hear some of the evidence that's been given to the Royal Commission already, do you think that some universities failed these students at the time?
I think, Sally, the evidence that we heard yesterday, and obviously we've heard it along the way, is harrowing. And I think what we saw was the tensions and divisions that were evident post October 7 and obviously, you know, after Bondi, inevitably played out on university campuses. And we would expect that, right, because that's what university campuses proudly foster, is open, contested debate. But in terms of going forward, we don't want to see a replication of that on our campuses.
How about within the classroom, if young people in particular are testing, discussing, arguing ideas about some of the conflicts and the basis of conflicts? What's your view on that, how far things can go?
So what we've done there, and all of our universities are adopting and looking at adopting the recommendations that the expert committee has given us. One of the things that we have implemented across the universities, and this has gone beyond the Group of Eight, is a training package basically for staff and frontline staff, but also academic staff. And this goes back to the definition and the argument that you need to understand what it is when you see it, okay? So you need to know what anti-Semitism actually is and how that plays out. And of course, now the government has also proposed a similar framework around Islamophobia and other forms of racism. And so understanding and having that definition, which can then be used as a benchmark, is the first step. And most of our universities, again, I can only speak for the Group of Eight, have that in play. The second is actually training for our academics and our frontline staff. So that's our security staff, you know, all of everybody, in how you operate in a way of keeping that balance of free and open speech, but not in a way that breaches the sorts of things that we've seen in the past.
Vicky Thompson, thank you.
Thanks, Sally.